And Joe's on the show with me. So, Joe, you know, it's obviously very, very nice to be able to have you on yet again. And, talk a little bit about going on. It's introduce yourself, of course, and who you are and go from there.
Been a concert photographer for 16 years, shot about 1,200 shows, and opened earlier tonight was the second installment of a concert gallery at the Loftworks Gallery at 40th and Payne in Cleveland. It's called Rock Roll Perspectives 2, and it's 40 years of concert photography from myself, along with another great Cleveland concert photographer, Anastasia Pantios. And we've combined all of our photos into a giant exhibit, and it will be going on through the weekend, tomorrow and Sunday.
So talk a little bit about this gallery you have going on now. One of the things that it's different. You know, it's not something that typically gets done in photography because, as I've always said, that photography has been devalued quite a bit over the last, say 10, 15 years. So talk about the importance of something like this and, how this all came together.
Well, Anastasia and I just were kicking around the idea of, she shot in the 70s and 80s into the 90s, and I've shot for the last 16 years or so. And we just talked about putting together both of our bodies of work and doing an exhibit. And she shot mostly exclusively on film and I shoot exclusively on digital. So there's a real nice duality between her stuff and my stuff. And we just combined hundreds of photos from each of us and hired an art gallery hanger that was really, really good and filled the Loftworks gallery from the floor to the ceiling with our photos. We've got probably 200 or 220 on the walls and another 400 or so available for purchase for the weekend. So we hope to see everybody out there.
Now, one of the things I think is interesting is the fact it's the second time this has happened and that you guys have put this on. So obviously you were pretty successful the first time. I remember seeing what happened. So talk about the second time around. I mean, was there more of a response for you? Was it something that now more people know about and they're checking out? And maybe talk a bit about the first day of this.
Yeah, we had a great response last year, probably about 600 or 700 people through the doors in the 3 days. Last year was the same weekend. We found that was a great weekend because it's 2 weeks before Black Friday. A lot of people were saying they got their Christmas shopping done early. They don't have to mess with the Black Friday crowds. And concert photos are great Christmas gifts. You have a super fan that went to a certain concert, you get them a photo from that concert, and it's just so much a better of a gift than going to the mall and getting a calendar or whatever. But for the second installment, we really spent some time late summer going through our collections and really digging deep and finding stuff that we've never published or never printed before. So a lot of the stuff that you'll see at the gallery this weekend is stuff that has never been seen before from the deep dark depths of our collections.
So speaking of which, so you've shot a lot of shows. You started out, I remember years ago, shooting a lot of metal bands at some of the smaller clubs and eventually moved up to some of the bigger acts that really weren't metal bands, but just top bands that are in the top 40, bands that have been around for 20, 30 years. And talk about how you went from shooting in small clubs and then going out and shooting in big arenas.
I was a radio guy for 25 years, and I also worked for some record labels, so I had kind of a lot of connections in the business. The radio business started going down the toilet with the consolidations and the Clear Channels and the voice tracking and the bloodlettings and firings at all the stations and stuff, and I kind of saw that writing on the wall, and I had a camera that I really wasn't that good at using, and I was shooting a lot of local metal bands, and when a bigger band would come to town and I knew somebody that worked from the label, I would use some connections to get a bigger photo pass for them, and just started shooting more and more shows like that. Once I started shooting some of the bigger ones, it was just easy to get more. And I never would have guessed that 15 years later, I'd have 1,200 shows in my pocket. And that's pretty much what I do nowadays.
Gotcha. So I'm going to ask you a question that's going to be difficult to answer because you'll understand why here in a second. But when I look at the body of work that you've done, say over the last, 10, 15 years, I always go back to the Paul McCartney concert. One, because obviously it's Paul McCartney, and the shots came out great, but obviously what you had to do to get those shots, most people don't understand this, but when you shoot with a very long lens, it is very, very difficult to keep it stable, especially if they have a stipulation where they don't let you use a tripod. And to really get a shot like that takes a lot of skill to really be able to master something like that. So I always go back to that shoot as probably being one of the best that you've ever done. So for you as a photographer and doing this for as long as you have, what is one, I know it's gonna be hard to narrow it down to one, but what are a couple of the, you know, what are the couple of the, how do I want to put this? A couple of the concerts that you really just go back and like, you know what, this is, I still love this.
Anytime somebody that's of a nature of Paul McCartney or the Rolling Stones or Elton John, even though I might not be fans of that band, you know, big fans personally, to shoot anybody of that stature is always a lot of fun. And the McCartney show was fun because that was taken from the soundboard, which of course is, you know, very far away on the floor of the venues. And shooting with those long lenses really took me a long time to get used to. I mean, you can't breathe when you're zoomed in that close.
No.
Because if you just breathe, just the little movement of your body taking a breath will cause motion blur when you're zoomed in like that. So mm-hmm. it kind of now I don't even really think about it much, but you have to time your shots around when you're not breathing.
Right. Or the fact, you know, the other thing is about when you're doing that, people don't realize that when you have concerts and you have lighting that is varied, you know, it can vary in a split second. You know, that is what makes it difficult, because it's a little bit different if you're shooting out in daylight. The light's pretty much mostly at a constant. But when you go to a concert, you don't know what lights are going to shift and what's going to happen. So really timing everything is always going to be challenging. And it's always going to be something that really takes a lot of getting used to. I know the first ever concert I shot was almost 11 years ago. And I remember the challenge for me was, man, I got to hit the lighting. I got to hit, you know, you got to hit everything. There's so many variables that go into it. And you have to have the right settings to be able to cope with that and be able to adapt to that. And, you know, is that something that took you a long time to learn?
Oh, yeah. And that's why I love it so much, because it's, I think, concert and sports photography are the two most difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can go into a field in the sun and sit there for an hour and get the perfect shot just by trial and error and moving the settings till I get something perfect. Mm-hmm. And like you said, when you're, you know, at a concert, you've got a 5-second lighting bank that's going to completely change in a few seconds. You got to get that shot, and then you got to be ready for the next setting. And it's very fast moving. And when you have such variances in lighting, it's really difficult to dial in for a shot, because you can't just find your happy medium like you can in the sunny field and just stay there. I mean, you're always moving and you're always changing, and it's you can shoot in, like, I've shot probably 100 shows at Blossom and 100 shows at the Q, and every time I walk in there, I never know what to expect. It's always different.
Right, because every band has a different thing. So here's what I'm going to tell people. You know, obviously, with all the lighting and everything you have going on, what's interesting is that not only do you have to deal with all that, you got to deal with the person that you're shooting moving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and people in the crowd, you know, with their phones in the air. And,
right.
You know,
right. So I've always told everybody, it's funny because I was asked not long ago, what is the most difficult thing to shoot on a camera? And I've always said concerts. And, you know, everybody has always had this misconception for me that, you know, me shooting auto racing, that, oh, that's got to be difficult to do. And I'm like, you know what? I have two factors. I have light and I have the motion of the vehicle. I don't have to deal with varied lighting. I don't have to deal with crowds of people coming in. And I started naming off like 7 or 8 things. And to be able to do what you do is a challenging thing. And it's always impressive when someone can really nail the perfect lighting and a perfect shot with a musician on stage.
Well, a lot of times we're only allowed 2 songs or 3 songs. And with somebody like Elton John, 3 songs can be, you know, 8 minutes.
Right.
Or 2 songs can be 3 minutes. So, you know, you've got to be in and out and you've got 3 minutes. And if I'm shooting for a magazine or a publication, you've got to get a good shot of everybody in the band. If there's 5-6 guys in the band, you got 3 minutes to get a good shot of everybody. It's difficult sometimes.
Right. So, you know, talk a little bit too about the, you know, about, you know, some of the stipulations that you've had to deal with as far as, you know, some of the terms. I mean, obviously, every artist has crazy contracts. Like a good example, like Guns N' Roses had some insane, you know, stipulations of shooting one of their shows. And do you run into a lot of that?
Oh, yeah, at every show.
And, you know, how is it? How do you deal with things like that? Where you don't know what you're going to deal with. You walk in, oh, you can only do this for so long and this for so long. And, you know, you have to, you know, you have to be in this certain spot. I mean, do you prepare for things like that? Or you just adapt to it?
Well, you never know, because you can get something in the mail from the publicist that says, okay, you're shooting in the pit for the first 3 songs. And then when you get there, oh, sorry, now you have to shoot from the soundboard and you get 1 song.
Right.
So even if they tell you in advance, it changes a lot. So you never really know. I used to hate the 3-song rule when I first started. Now I love it because I can usually get what I want. I can get out of there after three songs. I can beat the traffic home.
Right.
And it's, I like it that way. And, you know, you do a little research, you go on YouTube, and let's say I'm shooting Paul McCartney, or I'll search for Paul McCartney, and I'll look for shows from the last month. So it's the same tour. There might be cell phone videos, but you can still see what's going on. You can see the lighting changes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes maybe at the beginning of the second song, the two guys in the band will jump off the drum riser or something like that. I've caught a lot of shots like that just because I've watched, you know, some of the shows from the tour.
Right.
So with a little bit of research like that, it's pretty easy to get some good shots if you prepare.
Gotcha, man. So really quick, what I'm going to do is end off this hour, and we'll do a short segment at the beginning of next hour, talk about a couple other things going on. But I do want to tell you, because I have my whole musical database here, I did prepare for you to show up because I'm playing your favorite power metal band.
Iron Savior.
Iron Savior.
Love them.
And you know, a special meaning to me too, man, because, you know, Pete was a longtime friend of mine and actually one of the first people I ever spoke to. So, you know, I've always considered them an underrated power metal band.
They've always been
that way. So this is going to be for you. This is going to be the song Condition Red, which was released in 2002, as long ago as that might sound.
That's my favorite album from them, I think. It's Condition Red.
Condition Red. And at the time, they actually re-recorded this song, which actually came out great when they did it. And they did it not long ago. it actually happened, I'd like to say, this past year they did it. So this is Condition Red. We'll see everybody during the 11 o'clock hour of the Metal Command Radio Show. That was, of course, the Omega Man off of the album Metropolis 2.0, which was actually a re-recording of that album. They actually didn't re-record the entire thing, but certain parts here and there, they remixed it, made it sound a lot better. I'll tell you what, Pete did a great job re-recording some of the backing vocals, and the remix came out so much better than the original. So, still here with Joe Cleon, concert photographer, and, here to talk about the gallery. So, we talked about the gallery last hour, what you were doing. You know, give us some details the next couple days where people can go to see this and what they can expect to find there.
It is the largest gallery display of Cleveland concert photography, I think, ever. Over 40 years of Cleveland concert photography, probably about 800 photos, lots and lots of stuff. Everybody really from Alex Harvey to Justin Bieber and everybody in between. Lots of stuff, you know, photos from the classic show at the Variety with Motorhead when the plaster was falling down. A lot of classic Cleveland concert moments. And it's happening at the Loftworks Gallery, corner of 40th and Payne in Cleveland, 1667 East 40th Street. And Saturday, tomorrow, will be open from 2 until 8. And also Saturday, we'll have legendary Cleveland reggae performer Carlos Jones will be performing. And Sunday, November 11th, this coming Sunday, we'll be there noon to 5, and we'll have Jim and E-Rock from Wish You Were Here doing a bunch of classic rock that they do. And lots and lots of photos, all kinds of great stuff, great Christmas presents. I hope to see everybody coming out and support local artists and get some Christmas shopping done.
That's great to hear. Now, obviously, you have works for sale, things like that. And, and it's probably next to impossible to basically get a picture that you're really looking to, to find. Like, say if you wanted a certain artist, you can't have every photo that you've ever taken up there, obviously. So if somebody wanted a photo from you, say if they wanted something, an artist that maybe you don't have a display there, how can they get in touch with you and how could they get a photo of what you're doing?
We can take orders at the gallery for pretty much anything that anybody would want. I know just myself, I have 1,200 concerts, so I have a lot of stuff.
Right.
And people can also contact me through my website, which is joecleon.com, K-L-E-O-N, joecleon.com. And you can also find me on Facebook. Send me a message. Tell me the band you're interested in. I'll send you a gallery of photos. And if you want something, I'll take care of you.
Now, I do want to tell you one thing. One of the best recommendations you ever made to me was Ennio Pro Imaging. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of the photos that I do and I people will buy off me. I went to them for a lot of them, whether I had to mail it out. I could tell you what, those guys really did an amazing job on everything that I've ever given them. And, you know, they're actually, a lot of these prints are from them, correct?
They are one of the sponsors of the gallery, and they printed all of my stuff for my last four art galleries.
Right
there on Carnegie, like 40th and Carnegie, 35th somewhere around Carnegie, right next to the Big Dodd place. Locally owned, NEO Pro Imaging, they're fantastic. A locally owned business, great family. Dave is a great guy. Their work is second to none in Cleveland. They're great.
I will wholeheartedly agree with you. So one of the things I do want to touch on, and this is something that never gets talked about. So, you know, obviously talking about music, we talk about how people are illegally downloading. We talk about people, you know, basically stealing albums before they come out. But one of the things that doesn't get talked about, and obviously it's something that you have, Joe, have really done a lot in trying to combat this, is photo piracy. And a lot of people, when I tell them that, they look at me crazy, like, how do you steal a photo, and you know photo piracy, what is that? And maybe talk about that. You know, a lot of professional photographers that I know, you know, it's something that they just don't like to talk about, even though they know it exists. And you've really kind of basically taken a stand on this, so talk about photo piracy and basically give people some details of what exactly that is and go from there.
I started looking around 3 years ago for people stealing my photos. You can go into Google Images and do a reverse image search where you could download or upload any photo from your computer. Google will search its entire image bank of 7 billion images, and it will tell you every website where that image exists. And I wasn't prepared for the amount of infringements that I found. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people selling my images on T-shirts, pillows and posters and prints, and using them on corporate websites, like big corporations.
Yeah.
Corporations that you'd think would have a legal department that would know better. And I started suing people, and I've got a bank of attorneys, and I have usually 10 to 12 cases going at any time. And it's become fairly lucrative. And, you know, if you steal my photo and you use it on any website that makes money, I'm going after you. If it could be somebody in Utah selling bass lessons on DVD that no one's ever heard of.
Right.
Or it could be a giant company, you know, the size of, you know, a big box retailer.
Now, you know, a lot of professional photographers, I've noticed that majority of the, you know, photo piracy that goes on is usually people that either shoot concerts or they shoot models. You know, say they do a lot of, you see a lot of people that are fashion photographers. You see a lot of people that do concerts. Those seem to be, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I've always seen those two things as being something that gets stolen the most. Like a lot of guys that shoot fashion, somehow that image ends up on a billboard made by some big company, for example.
Well, because those pictures of those models are in demand. Pictures of musicians like Paul McCartney or, you know, Soilwork or any of those bands, you know, those images are in demand because they have lots of fans. If you shoot weddings or you shoot, you know, senior graduation photos, which I do, Who wants to steal those photos?
No.
Nobody. But, you know, you get a good picture of Paul McCartney, somebody puts that online and sells it, they can make money off your stolen images.
Right. So a lot of photographers that I know, many of them don't feel that they can combat this. They think, oh, this is going to be a losing battle if I try this. And what made you not feel that way? What was it about this that you said, you know what, I'm not putting up with this, and I'm going to go after these people that are stealing my stuff? And, you know, I think indirectly too, what you are doing is also helping other photographers, because really they realize, okay, someone's going to come after me. Who knows what if somebody else does?
Well, the one thing that's most important that makes a difference between being able to go after somebody and recover some decent money, and, you know, a typical case against a small company can be worth $5,000-$6,000, mm-hmm. but you have to copyright your images. Mm-hmm. If your images aren't copywritten, they're worth 10% of what they are if they are copywritten.
Right.
So once you copyright that image and somebody uses it after you've copywritten it, then the amount that you can go for attorney fees, you know, you could get maybe $600 if it's not copywritten. Once it's copywritten, you get 10 grand.
Right. Yeah, I gotcha. So I've always thought it was interesting because, you know, to me, I've even had these arguments with musicians saying, oh, that's ridiculous. But I'm like, well, you guys complain that, you know, people are stealing your music. So, you know, when you think about that, do you think photography as an art, and I'm going to call it an art because that's what it is. Do you think that it's been devalued quite a bit over the last, let's say, 10 years?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh yeah, because everybody now has an Ashton Kutcher purse camera, and you know how many people are, you know, Zoe Smith photography? They take pictures of their cousin's baby, and all of a sudden that they, you know, think that they're a photographer.
Right. I gotcha.
The one thing about the lawsuit thing that really bothers me is that I would love to call these people out. I would love to mention them all by name right now.
Right.
But when you do it out of court settlement for $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, there's always a confidentiality clause in there.
Right.
So the people who are stealing your images and selling prints and selling bootleg shirts and doing all that stuff, they never have to face any public accountability. They write you a check. They have a confidentiality clause. I can never talk about that case. If I mention their name 10 years from now, they could come back and come after me.
Right. I see what you're saying.
So they're immediately protected, and that bothers me because I wish that they could be publicly accountable.
Now, you know, getting back on topic a little bit on you know, the concert stuff, is there any artist you haven't shot that you would love to do photos of?
There's my bucket list is very low nowadays. I've shot a lot of the people that were on my bucket list, but yeah, there's a few. I was really bummed that I couldn't shoot Roger Daltrey last year when he was at Blossom with the orchestra. The orchestra was difficult to deal with, and I couldn't shoot. But yeah, there's a few, not many, but Metallica coming up in February. I've never shot them, so I'm really looking forward to that one.
Never shot Metallica, really?
Never shot Metallica, no.
Really? You know, that actually does surprise me a little bit.
Well, they haven't really, in the last 15 years, how many times have they played Cleveland? Or have they played in the area? Not a lot.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you say that, you know, because when I look at your images, it feels like you've been doing this like 30 years.
Yeah, about 2002 I started.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, hey, you know what? It obviously, it's great to have you on the show. And I have to say that, you know, it's great that you're doing this gallery thing because it's not something you see every day. This is not, you know, when you go to a gallery, what are you going? You're going to see paintings, everything else. But you don't see it as much for photography. And it's not something that is usually widely done. So to be able to do that and to put on this kind of show, I think is a huge accomplishment, in my opinion, and a really good way of people recognizing you for the hard work that goes into it. Because what's funny is people don't understand when you talk about photography being devalued, people don't understand the cost involved of doing it, the cost of equipment, the time, you know, everything that goes into it. Maybe elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, I mean, you know, my camera's $2,000. I've got $4,000 or $5,000 worth of lenses. You know, mm-hmm. You need a computer that's a couple $1,000s to edit the images, hard drives to store copies of your images. The software to process your images is, you know, $800 or $1,000. So there's a big, you know, big expense in there.
So I'm gonna go, I actually chalked this up, and I'm gonna tell you what the cost of photography, the average professional photographer, I have it actually drawn up here on my phone. So the average photographer, the average camera, professional grade camera, is $3,000. Okay. Now, you know as well as I do, it's electronic. You have electronics. Guess what? And mechanical. Guess what? Something can fail. You got to have a backup.
Of course.
Add another $3,000 to that. When you get to lenses, we all know lenses are not cheap. They are usually the biggest long-term investment because camera bodies get updated, things like that. So, for example, a really good 50mm lens, a good one, talking $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to get into the, you know, say some of the wide angles, you're talking maybe $2,000. If you want to talk to the fisheye lenses, you know, you're talking at least $1,500. And you start getting into the very big lenses, you know, the big 800mm, 600mm, you're talking five digits.
I've rented a 400mm 2.8 lens that was a $10,000 lens,
right,
to shoot a show, where I had to put a $10,000 hold on my credit card to even rent the lens.
Right, right. And you get bigger than that, you get to 600, you get to 800, you're talking $12,000-$13,000. So, you know, that's not counting, you know, a really good SD card that can hold a lot of images. You're talking, you know, over $100. You're talking hard drives. We all know hard drives have gone down in price, but now to, you know, they fail, you know, and then if you want to get solid state drives, you know how expensive those are. I mean, you can talk $700-$800 for a 2 TB solid state drive. So, you know, the cost is huge on it, and people don't realize. People think, oh, I just pick up a camera phone, I'm shooting. They don't realize the cost involved in photography. And I think that's something that I did want to mention because that is an aspect of this that most people don't understand.
Well, they want you to come shoot their kids for $50, and they don't realize that, you know, you're going to be bringing $10,000 worth of stuff to, you know, shoot their kids for $50.
So anyhow, but anyway, it was great to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Do you have any last words for anybody to, you know, at the end of the interview, as I always ask everybody?
I would just love people to come out to the gallery exhibit and check out the show. It's really great to watch people, you know, move around the gallery, and then they'll see a picture of a show that they were at 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and they're just, their whole body lights up, and they start telling memories of that show. And, you know, a concert, when you love a band and you go to a concert, it's really a great personal experience. And this is a great way to relive some of the concerts that you've went to in the past. And, you know, I had a lot of people that come there to buy gifts for the holidays, and they just think it's a great gift to get somebody. You know, if they're a super fan and they've went to the show, you can go to the mall and get them a calendar that they'll, you know, throw in the trash, or you can get them a personal photo of a show that they went to that, you know, has deep memories for them. And it's something that they'll cherish. So we really hope to see you out there. It's at the Loftworks Gallery, corner of 40th and Payne in Asiatown in Cleveland, just a few minutes from downtown. It's loftworksgallery.com. And we'll be there tomorrow from 2 until 8 and Sunday from noon until 5.
One last thing I'm going to end this off with. My favorite photo is still the black and white Gary Holt photo from Exodus.
Exodus, yeah, that was a fun show.
And for those that don't know, this show was named after one of their songs. So that is my favorite picture you've ever shot, that my personal preference. So with that, I'm going to play some Iron Savior, Atlantis Falling, off of the self-titled album. And thanks for coming on, Joe.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.